Chapter 7. The Silk Road. Stuff, to Ross, was just that. Stuff. He had no interest in any of it. But there was one object Ross couldn't live without. His laptop. That rectangular clamshell was, in many respects, Ross's life. All of the files and folders it contained made up a map of his brilliant and, to many, enigmatic mind. And it was on that very computer that, on a late summer morning in 2010, Ross began working on a project that was going to change everything. He had recently moved into an apartment with Julia, a live-slash-workspace in downtown Austin with shiny concrete floors. Julia had started a new business, which she called Vivian's Muse, where she photographed half-naked women for their husbands. Her pitch was simple. What do you get the man who has everything? Sensual pictures of his wife, almost nude. And so, several days a week, Julia would set up candles throughout the main room of the apartment, play sensual techno music, and snap thousands of boudoir pictures. In the adjacent bedroom, as Ross would get to work on his latest project, he could hear the pop, pop, pop of the camera flash, and Julia commanding her muse, "Stick your ass in the air," and, "Now act like you're having an orgasm." Their bedroom, where Ross often sat to work, was its usual mess, with Julia's crumpled up jeans, discarded dresses, and underwear littering the floor. When they weren't working, they spent hours under the covers, snuggling or watching TV shows on Ross's laptop. The latest show they had become obsessed with was Breaking Bad. They would cuddle on the bed, warmed by the glow of Ross's screen, as Walter White transformed into the terrifying and mysterious drug kingpin Heisenberg, a man who justified his evil along intellectual lines. Ross liked the drama, and it was hard not to appreciate what Heisenberg had done. Once an underachieving, largely browbeaten high school chemistry teacher, Walter White found in drugs the best way to express his technical brilliance as a chemist and business person. What he did may have been terrible and destructive, but he did it with such beauty and so adroitly that, to him at least, the very sin was absolved by the manner in which it was carried out. Still, Ross thought the storyline was a bit far-fetched. "That would never happen in real life," he said to Julia. When he wasn't watching the show, Ross was now tinkering with his new idea in their Austin bedroom, an anonymous website where you could buy or sell anything imaginable. The genesis of this concept had been lodged in Ross's mind for some time. Just another one of the daydreams he hoped to build in the future. The only problem was, when he had first had this particular aha moment a year earlier, the technology he needed to realize it simply hadn't existed. At the time, he had contacted a man he'd met online who went by the nickname Arto. They had exchanged a few emails, with Ross asking Arto if it would be possible to build such an anonymous online store, primarily for illegal drugs, which Ross didn't think should be illegal, that the government would have no control over. Arto, who was clearly an expert on such matters, explained that most of the technology needed to make this idea happen existed. There was a web browser called Tor, which enabled people to slip behind a curtain online into another, separate internet, one where the U.S. government couldn't track people because, thanks to Tor, everyone became invisible. Unlike the normal internet, where Ross's every move was stored in databases by Facebook or Google or Comcast, on this side of the internet, called the dark web, you simply couldn't be found. But there were complicating factors to Ross's idea. Specifically, in 2009, there wasn't a good way to pay for these things anonymously online. Cash was too risky, and credit cards would leave evidence of someone buying a bag of cocaine from an illegal drug website. For inspiration, Arto suggested that Ross should read a relatively unknown novel titled A Lodging of Wayfaring Men. The novel tells a tale of a group of libertarian freedom seekers who create an alternate online society on the internet that operates using its own digital currency, free from government control. In the book, this online world grows so quickly that the U.S. government becomes petrified by its power. FBI agents are sent out to try to stop the website before it destroys the very fabric of society. Arto's advice was remarkably inspiring to Ross, but the logistical issues remained, specifically that there wasn't a way to pay for drugs on such a website. And so, for a year, the idea sat on a shelf in Ross's mind. That was until now. Ross had come across a technology that had recently emerged called Bitcoin. It was being billed as a new form of digital cash that was, from the research he had done, completely untraceable. Anyone in the world could use it to buy and sell anything without leaving digital fingerprints behind. The people, or person, who had created this new technology were anonymous, but the idea was simple. While you needed dollars to buy things in America, pounds in England, yen in Japan, or rupees in India, this new Bitcoin currency was meant to be used all around the world, and specifically on the internet. And just like cash, it was untraceable. To get some Bitcoins, you could exchange them online in the same way you could go to the airport and exchange dollars for euros. It was the missing piece Ross had been waiting for to build his experimental world with no rules. So in the summer of 2010, while Julia was photographing naked women, Ross Ulbricht, the failed physicist who wanted so badly to make a difference in the world, sat down at his beloved laptop to realize the idea that had been lodged in his mind for so long. A website that would be a free and open marketplace where people from all over the planet could buy anything and everything. Things that they couldn't currently get their hands on because of the restrictions of the U.S. government. Most important, drugs. As his fingers touched the keyboard and code appeared on his computer screen, he daydreamed that the site could potentially grow quickly. So quickly that the government would become petrified by its power. It could be living proof, Ross fantasized, that legalizing drugs was the best way to stop violence and oppression in the world. If it worked, it would change the very fabric of society forever. Sure, he wanted to make money. That was the libertarian way. But he wanted to free people, too. There were millions of souls crammed into jails across the country because of drugs, mostly inconsequential drugs like weed and magic mushrooms. A vile and putrid prison system kept those people locked away, lives destroyed because the government wanted to tell people what they could and could not do with their own bodies. This new website he was working on could change that. Coming up with a name for his store was a challenge, but he finally settled on the Silk Road, a title borrowed from the ancient Chinese trade route of the Han Dynasty. The biggest challenge now was finding the time to actually work on the project, given that he was still involved with Good Wagon Books and had even taken over most of the operation. Still, he had hired a couple of employees to do most of the book work, so Ross could hole up in his messy bedroom and toil away on the site. Work that was difficult, even for someone as capable as Ross. He spent innumerable hours writing front-end code, back-end code, and code that helped sew those digital dialects together. Ross was teaching himself all of these programming languages on the fly. He was technically doing the equivalent of building eBay and Amazon on his own, without any help and without any knowledge. When he got stuck, he was truly baffled as to how to fix a programming problem. It wasn't as if he could post a job listing online, looking for someone to help him build a website that sold drugs and other illegal contraband. For now, though, he was determined to build the site on his own, even if it was slow going. His idea, which now seemed like the obvious path to push his liberation ideals, might actually turn into something. But there was one thing Ross hadn't figured out yet. Where was he going to get drugs for his new drug-dealing website?